Uber and Lyft are both fighting to make sure their drivers remain independent contractors, not employees entitled to benefits. So far, no court has compelled ride-hailing companies to change that. But as NPR's Arthi Shahani reports, they are facing a new startup that's prepared to offer drivers full employee status.
Juno is not a scrappy, rinky-dink kind of startup. I'm at their headquarters, One World Trade Center, on the 47th floor, taking in a majestic view of the Hudson River.
This is actually our temporary office.
Talman Marco, the CEO of Juno, says the view could be better.
We're moving up to the 84th floor.
Marco is a tech veteran. He sold his first startup, Viber, a messaging app that's popular in Asia, for nearly $1 billion. And now he's turning his attention to the so-called sharing or gig economy. He's got a starkly critical take for a guy who works out of a glass skyscraper.
Sharing economy left unchecked is a sure way to slowly squeeze the little guy. And I don't claim to be a great socialist. I'm really not. But it's a great way to take the bottom tier of the middle class and push it lower.
Let's look specifically at ride hailing. A couple years back, Marco saw some news reports that drivers may be somewhat unhappy. Then he decided to get into cars, hold focus groups, and what he found?
After spending many, many hours with quite a lot of drivers, I think this is a massive understatement.
It's hard to take his word for it. To many passengers, drivers look quite happy. They smile, they chat, they offer phone chargers and candy. Marco says while they've got to do that for the 5-star rating, on the inside,
they really hate ride-sharing companies. Ride-sharing companies have been abusing them. They're treating them like a commodity.
A commodity, a resource that's easy to find and replace, like wheat. Consider the choice of words. When Uber lets a driver go, they call it deactivation.
You do not deactivate people, you deactivate machines. When you say that you deactivate a person, that speaks volumes of the way that you actually think of these people.
Uber is making a bet that in the long term, self-driving cars will reduce the need for human drivers. With Juno, Marco is making a different bet, that human labor really matters, and the company that keeps workers happy, that wins their loyalty, will win, period. Juno has set aside half its stock, its shares, for drivers. Uber and Lyft, which call the drivers driver partners, have set aside zero shares.
When and if these companies go public or get sold, the drivers are going to get nothing. So that's not a real partnership.
A ride with Juno costs about the same as the competition, but the company takes a lower commission, 10% as opposed to 20 or 25%. And Juno is preparing to offer employee status with benefits, paid vacation, and sick leave. Marco says it's only fair because while drivers set their own hours, the ride-hailing company exercises control over the other terms, the rules, the prices.
We're not trying to run away from our responsibility.
Do you think other companies are?
I think so, yes.
Juno has nearly 13,000 drivers in New York City, the only place that operates for now.
Hi.
Hi.
Simmer Singh is one of them. Singh says the startup absolutely stands out for its benefits, but that's not enough for him to quit his three other ride-hailing companies. His main concern is keeping his car full with passengers as much as possible.
If you can assure me you're going to give me enough business, if you assure me that, I'm happy to drive with you all the time. I don't need too many apps. I don't have to hang up like 10 phones in my car.
Singh says he's not fond of using so many apps, but so far, Juno doesn't have enough customers signed up for him to quit Uber and Lyft. Lyft declined to respond to the criticisms raised by Juno's CEO. Uber says in an email to NPR that the company is focused on offering more stable, reliable opportunities for drivers to earn money than the competition. Arthi Shahani, NPR News, New York.